Yeah,
So, hi,
nice.
Lawrence. Here we are. We just
Oh,
decided to
wow.
do a little impromptu hangout, and we caught Finn, the new puppy dog, in between rambunctiousness, and so he's taking a little nap so Lawrence can have a moment to
Yeah,
talk about some
thanks.
things. So, hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us. And we're going to talk about some eclipse stuff today, among some other things, some other map ideas and things that have come up this week. And but it's kind of been in the news a lot because eclipses have, because it's been kind of talked about. NASA let out a projection of where the solar eclipse is going to happen in, when is it? August, I believe, Lawrence?
21st of August, this year.
2017, right. So they put out a couple of little videos and talking points and so on, and made sure everybody understood that where the path was going to go across the United States for those viewing in the United States, and also telling everyone that if you haven't already booked your hotel to view this amazing solar eclipse, then you're too late because all of the hotels along the path have already all been booked, which I find that pretty hard to believe because it's a pretty wide swath going across there. But so anyway, what do you want to start with, Lawrence? You want to start talking about something you've been working on, or you want to start talking immediately about this eclipse thing?
Yeah, I'd like to work up to the eclipse if you don't mind. But well, obviously, we will have to give a rebuttal to Awake Souls just in case he's watching. Hi, Jason, if you're watching. I have got a rebuttal to your map because you said we hadn't. It is very similar to the one proposed by Globusters. And I've got a rebuttal to you. And there are some serious problems with your map. So stay tuned and I'll tell you what they are. I've been looking at the eclipse and the problems with it and how it can actually work on the flat Earth. And I think I've got that pretty well sussed in my own head, at least how it's happening. And also the lunar eclipses, they're something of a puzzle, aren't they? Because people keep saying that it's some hidden planets that are passing across the moon that's causing this. But I don't think so because I've got something to raise today on Facebook, so we can cover that in a short while. But what I wanted to start off with was this brilliant idea that I had the other week. And I was just thinking there about this, and I thought, there's some practical applications to this. So if you remember when I was talking about the quinoa, which I've shown several times now, this goes back to July, and I got two jars of quinoa and put love, gratitude, thank you on one, and hate. I will kill you. You make me sick on the other, and the one that's got the love on it, it still smells sweet as a nut, and it hasn't decayed in any shape or form. Whereas the other one, it smells absolutely disgusting, and it's got loads of mold growing on it. So I'm thinking these words have an effect. So maybe if food manufacturers were to put a label on the food with love, peace, gratitude, and good words like that, maybe they wouldn't need preservatives at all. Or maybe the food that has got preservatives in will last even longer because some stuff goes off really, the perishable food goes off quite quickly, the ones that's got a short shelf life. And even stuff like jam, once you've taken the top off the jam, if you have jam on your croissants in the morning, then the jam goes off quite quickly, especially if you buy these ones that are lower in sugar. So I'm thinking if the manufacturers actually put these words on the label, then the food would be preserved longer. So I'm going to do some experiments on processed food like jam and things like maybe hummus, and have a control, one with the good words, one with the bad words. And then we'll just leave it and observe it from one show to the next, see what happens. It's funny that McDonald's, their food doesn't rot, does it? They're, you know, they've had these McDonald's and fries, and they've been put under a plastic dome, and like 3 years later, nothing will touch it. Maybe it tastes so bad that the mould are saying, stay away from that one, lads. It's fucking McDonald's. You don't want to poison yourself. But yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Maybe McDonald's are putting love words somewhere in the manufacturing process that preserves the flavor. I don't know. And the other application is, you know, if this all proves to be true, you know, obviously there's a vested interest there. So the people that manufacture preservatives for food, that they wouldn't want this getting out there, but certainly the food manufacturers would, and the public at large. If they, you know, if you bought some avocados, they have a sort of peak ripeness, so they're either rock hard and they'll get a little bit softer, but they get this lush texture, and it only lasts for maybe 2 days, and then they start to go soggy, and then they turn black. So maybe if you can put a little sticker on saying love, peace, gratitude on, and maybe they just reach absolute perfection and stay there. Who knows? But be interesting to find out, because I'm going to have several. Some that say love, some that say hate, and some that don't say anything. So on the next show, I'll have my avocados lined up, and I can show you which one is there. The week later, or yeah, it'll have to be a week later because we haven't got a show in the middle of the week. I'm going to take a knife to them and let you see what the insides are like, and we can compare. And the other application is for, you know, words on something changes the structure of it, or encourages mold, or maybe it depresses things. I don't know, but it lowers the immune system of whatever it is. So if we wore clothing that had these words on, so let me just show you this. I know I'm going off at a bit of a tangent here, but this is good stuff because nobody's come up with this before. It's an idea about an idea. So if we share the screen, here we go. I'm sharing yet. So I've had a T-shirt printed. It should arrive in the next few days. So I'm going to have all my clothing that I have now that I get, you know, printed up. I'm going to have love, gratitude, thank you, peace, truth, tranquility, all sorts of good words, because it certainly can't do any harm, but it might do a whole lot of good, you know.
I think that's a great idea, Lawrence, because I definitely think when you speak kind words, nice words, pleasant words to someone, or smile at them, or anything positive, is infectious, right? And and if you are walking around with a shirt on it that says, I'm a butthead and so are you, or something like that, then obviously it's going to affect everyone that you come in contact with. So, I think it's an excellent experiment idea. And I do love the idea of if manufacturers picked up on it. So many other products that we buy are kind of planned obsolescence, I guess they call it, or we call it, where the minute it goes out of warranty, it breaks down. Maybe if we learn to speak kindly to our appliances and our phones and TVs and everything else, they would last longer. And so would people. People would last longer.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Maybe humans would last longer. Maybe it could reverse illness. Who knows? The power of words. And you're frozen. Am I off air?
Longer.
Oh, you stopped moving, Laurie. Oh, you're back.
Oh, there you are.
Yes, anyway. So I had this other thought, and I was thinking when I was young at school, there was this lad, and he was quite short, and he was a bully, but he had two bruising henchmen that accompanied him everywhere, so he didn't do any of the beating up himself. If somebody didn't approve of, he'd get these two lads to kick shit out of him. And this lad, he got a tattoo on each knuckle, love and hate. And I was living there, funny enough, I was living next door to this guy for about 6 months. I was just between where I was living at the time. And sadly, this guy died when he was 30. And I'm wondering whether the hate on one set of knuckles was causing the cancer. Who knows what this stuff did? But you know, if you've got any tattoos out there that have got negative connotations, then you know, I'd be concerned, because they could be making you ill over time.
Well, I mean, you know, Not that I care, but there's plenty of people out there who wear all this satanic, you know, goth, not just all goths, but the satanic ones with the skulls and devils and so on, and tattoos and t-shirts and whatever, piercings and all that kind of stuff. It's really not all that attractive, which I'm sure they're not really trying to be. But at the same time, I definitely think that affects some of those people's attitude. Maybe not all of them, but I can't imagine why you would want to have hate, devils, all that on your clothing and on your look, if that wasn't your intention, you know. So yeah, I think that's a cool experiment, Lawrence, and I look forward to seeing what the outcome of that is, because the quinoa experiment has been truly phenomenal as far as I'm concerned, because for the one jar to have no effect since July of 2016, and while the other one is disgusting, as you say, and I can tell you almost want to gag every time you open the lid. I think
I'm still keeping them.
And you should, because I mean, the one could just like get completely, utterly putrid. But it would be interesting to see how long the love, gratitude, and whatever the other words are, one
thank you
lasts. Thank you. Yeah. So,
yeah.
And I like the thought of the application. We talked about it privately after one of the hangouts that we did, you know, a week or so ago. So I'm probably, since I'm kind of arty farty, I'll probably make my own t-shirt and paint my own words on there rather than pay somebody to print one.
Yeah, that's it, Larry. Yeah, we're going to be the love channel.
We'll have
so much the love channel. We're going to be the cool channel. We're going to be the cool channel. And we're going to wear funky shirts that say love, peace. I'm going to be wearing it every time. As soon as this one comes, I'm going to get a few more printed.
Okay, good.
Because you'll be reading these words, audience, if you're not on the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely.
Audience is on the podcast, but we do get a few on YouTube. So you'll be looking at love, peace, gratitude, harmony. You know, and if you've got any good suggestions, I'll take them on. I'll put them all on, and then we'll tell everybody who came up with the name, as long as it's a nice word, you know, that's healing in some way.
Well, that's the idea. I mean, positive and negative. And, it would be interesting to see how many views we got if you wore one that, you know, had all the happy words on there, and then maybe the following week wore one with, I hate you, you disgust me, you know, life sucks, and all that kind of stuff. It would probably
get
Yeah,
that's brilliant. Yeah. You were telling me something the other week. I mean, this is a proper hangout, so let's just imagine we're having a chat just for a change and we're not doing a show.
Okay.
You can still cover all the stuff. But we were chatting the other week, and you were telling me something that was like NLP, but it wasn't NLP, where they use different types of music and voices and things they do.
Oh, sounds.
To sort of claw you in. What was it called, that thing?
That's called ASMR triggers.
ASMR triggers,
ASMR triggers, yes.
Yeah.
There's a whole study about that. It's proven.
They're being used by some of the Flat Earth channels, because I've noticed it, you know. I'm thinking that's one of those, especially Mark Sargent, you know, I don't listen to much of what he does, but I tune in once in a while just to see what he's coming out with, and it's the same old record. But sorry, Mark, if you're listening. But he always starts off with this music, same as David Weiss. And this music does actually sound quite good, and it's like a little hook to get you into watch it if you listen to it. You know, David Weiss does it with his little short ones, and Mark Sargent's definitely doing it at the start of his.
ASMR triggers are sounds that are designed to give you the tingles. And the tingles are obviously a positive thing, and they can be quite addicting. But if you go Google ASMR triggers, there's some blog articles about it that are quite in depth, that have multiple videos on them that show you a whole bunch of those kinds of triggers.
They were
one of them is whispering, if
yeah.
really want to pay attention, and it's supposed to be soothing.
It's supposed to be really sexy. But right. Laurie, let me just tell you about
because there's tapping. Yeah, there's fingernails tapping. There's all kinds of triggers. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So anyway, you gave me this video link to watch. So I was watching it, and I'm thinking, yeah, that whispering by the women is to attract the men. Mm-hmm. And one of these videos that you gave me was this woman who was showing you how to fold a napkin, and it got something like 5 million views. So why would 5 million people watch a woman folding a napkin? Anyway, so you watch it. You know, and she's talking very whispering. I can't do it like she's you. Whispering. You do really good.
Right. She's
whispering, mm-hmm. telling you how to make the fold here and to gently move it over there. But it's making the shape of a woman's sexual, the clitoris, and you know, all around that area. It's actually fanned out like a woman's.
That's like a Pisces symbol. Well, there you go.
I'm thinking, that is deliberate.
Add that to the triggers and the tingles. I mean, listen, people do not understand remotely how many mind control triggers they're under every single day and how much information is being given to them in a form of propaganda that they have no clue that's being inputted into them. For example, the kind of voice someone has, mine is raspy and scratchy and due to a very long time of smoking, which I quit, but it was far too late. And, but there's also that sort of S's, the way they say their S's. And if you say your S is really simply like this, it's very, it triggers the mind. And so the delivery of the person who's either advertising to you or trying to give you news or impress upon you some kind of way that you should be thinking, it's happening to people all day long and they're not aware. Like Barack Obama with his neuro-linguistic programming speech patterns, if you pace yourself in a certain way, if you talk at a certain tone, if you you do the leading and pacing where you build up and then you do the right pause and then you deliver the next line, and there's just all kinds of these things, and people are subjected to literally hundreds of thousands of them every day. So it's no wonder that everybody, whoever you're listening to, if they're using these mind control methods, people would say, "Oh, I'm not under mind control." You don't have a choice. These things are designed to trigger thoughts that are in your below consciousness, in your subconscious, that you have no control over, because it's almost like gigging your, lizard hindbrain, for no other way to describe it. So yeah, there's a lot of people putting out opposite information. This person saying this thing and this person saying the opposite thing, and they're both using these methods that are scientifically proven, tested, tried and true. And people can't understand why this person thinks this and this person thinks that. And both of them have their reasons, because the triggers cause the talking points to be embedded into their subconsciousness, so that when they go to think about a certain thing, the talking points start kicking in. And then those thoughts, they think they're their own thoughts. But they're not. They're programmed thoughts. So every time you feel that happening to you, snap out of it, because you're being worked on.
Yeah, I know. Shall I just play the start of Mark Sargent's show just to see what the audience think and say, Mark's not going to put a copyright on us. This is science, Mark.
Who cares if he does? I don't care. I don't care anymore about any of that stuff.
We've still got the podcast anyway, so let's just find Mr. Sargent. There we go. In a minute. And I'll show you something. Oh, what's happened to that? You know. Thank you. Flat Earth. And that David Weiss one.
Yeah, I'm going to go and look up what those letters of ASMR, I always forget what they stand for. ASMR yeah. triggers, common ASMR triggers that cause tingles. There are some ASMR triggers. Wait, what is it? Whispering, scratching, blowing, Bob Ross.
Actually.
Pages turning, personal attention, touching the head, concentration on a task. Where is it? ASMR. I can't believe home. They got to be able to have.
I'm going to put this in the
chat.
Go ahead.
Here it is. Autonomous sensory meridian response. And it refers to a phenomenon which is very difficult to explain to those that do not experience it. It is usually experienced through a relaxing tingling in the scalp and the back of the neck and can extend into the rest of the body. It's a very calming sensation that washes over you. Okay. So what do you got, a video?
Just play the introduction to that Mark Sargent thing, and then you can see that music is designed to make people stay with it.
The crackling fire sound. That's one.
Yeah.
Hey everyone, it's Mark Sargent, and this is
Q&A.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah,
I haven't listened to him in ages. Sorry, Mark.
And David Weiss does the same with his. You know, he puts that sort of really music that's going to catch you in some kind of way. It's like a
Free Energy kind of has that a little bit too.
Yeah. Yeah,
but that crackling sound. Fireplaces are probably ASMR. Triggers. So okay, well that's interesting. While you rattle your smoking papers,
anyway, just going back a tangent onto the last bit before we move on to the next bit.
Okay.
When you buy a packet of tobacco now or a packet of cigarettes, on the front it says, "You will die. Smokers die younger. You will harm your baby." You know, and showing pictures of a guy with a big tumor about the size of a grapefruit on his throat. And they put all these nasty words on the tobacco. And I'm thinking it can affect the tobacco. So this is my pure tobacco. So there's no additives anyway. And I am now removing all the packaging, putting nice words. So that one says,
okay. I will live forever. I can smoke all I want. What does it say? Hold on. Hold it up there.
Thank you.
Okay. Love, gratitude. Thank you. Good. Good job.
Yeah.
Will be the last living smoker, Lawrence.
I can tell you that the tobacco actually tastes a little bit better now. No, really.
I think that's a brilliant idea. I mean, if you're going to smoke anyway, why not? Right?
Why should I have to buy these packets with all these offensive words on it, bad English, you know? Because I think it can make the tobacco more harmful.
Well, you know what? That's kind of an interesting idea if the tobacco industry truly would take all of the crap out of the cigarettes, which they're not allowed to because the lobbyists for the insurance companies are the ones that make them put all that labeling on there and so on, and cancer warnings fire retardant in the tobacco to make the cigarettes go out in case dumbheads are smoking in bed. Reverse engineered saving of stupid lives. Let them burn themselves up.
And you can't even look in the UK now. If you want to buy some cigarettes or tobacco and you go to the supermarket, it's not even on display, so you have to tell them what you want, and then they open this cupboard and take it out. And I say, I'm not kidding you. So I say, well, can I just have a quick look? What you've got? No, you're not allowed to look. Okay, so it's true. So you go to Asda, which is part of Walmart, and you want some tobacco, and you're not sure what they've got. So I say, can I have a look at what you've got? Because they've got these, They have to open the drawers, the sliding things for you to see what the tobacco is. And they say, no, you're not allowed to look. I says, well, when you open the door to take it out, I'm going to look then. She said, yeah, but that's just for a moment. You know, you're not allowed to look at it for any length of time. So if you want to know what tobacco you got, go down there and have a look at that list on the end of the aisle, which tells you the A to Z of all the tobaccos we've got. That's how it's got.
But
now they've changed the now they've changed the packaging. So you can't have brightly coloured cigarette packets anymore. They have to be horrible colours. So the Pueblo that I used to buy, Pueblo Blue, is now in a dog shit colour. It's a real horrible brown with you know, stuff on saying that it's going to kill you and all that sort of stuff. So they've got some crazy ideas.
As if that's going to make any difference to anyone who, you know, is hell-bent on smoking or is literally addicted to tobacco, whatever. Or most people, I find, are addicted to just to smoking. I mean, to the activity of smoking.
Yeah.
It gives them a break. Yeah. You know, they go outside, they get some fresh air, they, you know, they take a break. And because after, I don't know, 60 or 70 hours, you're supposed to be clear of nicotine, and all the rest of it is personal addiction. But
yeah,
I found that to be true. Okay, so we got to move on to flat earth stuff because we have people listening who go, Wayne, you got to talk about the flat earth stuff.
All right. Anyway,
we'll come back to discussion. Okay.
All right. Well, here's a little poser for you. So let me just share the screen again. I might have to go onto Facebook to find it, but never mind. There's other things on there that we wanted to cover anyway. So let's talk about the moon. The moon. Here we go. Here's our Facebook page. If you're not on this Facebook page, it's the only real genuine one. The others are all...
Turn that chat off, Lawrence, immediately.
What chat?
The chat box that you have open on your Facebook page, because it has the it has the link to the a little late now, but
does it? All right, does it? I can't.
Please, Lawrence, turn it off.
I'm trying.
Click that.
Yeah, click chat off. All right, I don't use these things very often. Right, okay, so I've took that off. So let's go on to our channel.
No, you didn't, Lawrence.
Turn off chat. I've turned it off.
No, Lawrence, the chat box you have open with my name on it.
Oh, with your name? Oh, that one. Okay.
That one. There you go.
Okay. Sorry, Lawrence. Sorry.
That's okay.
I thought you meant something else. Right. Turn off chat. Okay. So, Flat Earth Conspiracy. There's the Facebook page. And.
All right. Can you? Never mind.
I'll make it bigger.
No, I want you to click off that chat box. Click the window off.
I'm trying.
All right.
It doesn't matter. I'll try. Options.
Okay. All right. Go about what you were doing, please.
All right. Okay. So, here we go. Oh, well, there's the eclipse one. So we'll just cover them both, then we'll talk about it, shall we? Okay. So I was looking at that NASA video that went out saying what the eclipse in the United States was, where it was visible next year, and you know, where it's going from and to where you could see it. And surprisingly enough, with this eclipse, the sun was moving from west to east, which was, maybe that was NASA just, you know, we're rubbing our noses in it or saying, you know, and surprise, you know, maybe they just think they're really stupid. And, you know, like when they put Pluto on the planet Pluto, you know, making it look so obvious that you know that they think we're a bunch of idiots. So this is here. Can I make this larger? I don't know. People can see that anyway. So okay. So this is August the 21st of this year. I'll read out what I've put. I've got here. We've got the sun directly overhead the moon. So you can't see the moon there because the sun is over it on time and day. And this is August the 21st this year. The eclipse is only visible to the west, so you can see over there to the left-hand side of the map where the eclipse is coming over the United States. But you would have thought that if the sun was directly over the moon, that you would see the eclipse directly below it, but you don't. So I've reasoned that this is because the light is being deflected by the celestial ceiling of the Earth. And when I say celestial ceiling, I mean, you know, I don't know what medium it is. You know, it could be electromagnetic. It, could even be glass. It could be anything. We don't know what it is because we haven't been up there. But there's something there which is, you know, when the sunlight hits it, it's making it show as though the sun is somewhere else. So, and it's difficult for me to say this, but, you know, I am having to agree with Globebusters about the notion of an apparent sun. You know, maybe the sun isn't where we actually see it. It's still traveling in a straight line, though. So, you know, a concession of one thing does not mean conceding everything else. So this deflection that we see, which is evident here with the eclipse, the sun is directly overhead at the top end of South America, and the sun is directly beneath it, and yet you do not see the eclipse where you should. You should, you know, if you were at the top end of South America, you should see the eclipse there, but you don't. You're seeing it over, you know, to the west. So if that's happening then it must, you know, by any logical conclusion, it must be happening all the time. So when we see the sun, it ain't there. We're seeing the sunlight, but it's originating from somewhere else. So to find out where it really is needs us to reverse engineer the position of the sun using angles. So it would be the angle in gives the angle out. So we need to reverse it back the other way to try and find out where it actually came from. So that, you know, that could be some experiments that are worth looking at, you know. But yeah, maybe if you can get a model of flat Earth and shine it through, you know, as it, you know, with the sun going over where the latitude on that day and the moon as well, maybe we can see where the sun is actually coming out. And if it's coming out over there, then we've got the correct angle. So an interesting thought, but, you know, there's all sorts of theories about eclipse. But for me, it's quite simple. You know, the sun is directly over the moon. Now, worked out how far the moon is away from the sun, and it's 50 miles closer to the Earth. So I haven't got the exact figures in front of me, but it was about 3,000 just short of 3,600 miles, the sun being from the Earth based on the trigonometry. So the moon is 50 miles below it. So the moon being said to be the same size of as the sun is going to block out all the sunlight when they're directly aligned. But it's not doing it directly below. So, you know, that is clear evidence that it's being deflected. So what do you think about that?
Well, I think, I guess deflection is an interesting way to describe it.
Deflection, you know, is the same as refraction. I just thought, but when you say refraction, some people glaze over because they don't know what refraction means. Maybe our audience knows what refraction means, but yeah. You know, you've got refraction, refraction, and deflection. Well, deflection and refraction are the same if you look under definitions, for those of you that are interested.
Well, the obviously, it's been a bone of contention with a whole lot of people in the flat Earth community since this whole thing busted open a couple of years ago, and that is because the globers are constantly using eclipses as a proof of the globe. And they're, you know, they're often challenging people to say, well, show on a flat Earth map how eclipses happen. Because one reason is because of the pizza pie pan map has been used and called the flat Earth map and model, with the sun and the moon going around in circles and following each other. And every once in a while, the moon catches up and the sun catches in there. But it's not, there's nobody can make a model that in that format that shows how eclipses work and predicts them properly. And of course, the globers say that, you know, they can predict solar and lunar eclipses perfectly way off into the future. And sure they can. But they have the tech to run the data of how the sun and moon were, you know, the path and the timing and the distance and all of those things to be able to predict them. So there's got to be a formula that they're using. We just haven't figured out a formula for the flat Earth version of how that's equivalent.
Yeah, and that wouldn't work on the globe either. So if the sun was directly over the moon, you know, at the top end of South America, then on the globe, then the eclipse should be, you should be able to see it there, but you don't. So it don't work on the globe either. But it works on the flat Earth. All we need to do is work out what the angles are that cause the sun, you know, the eclipse to be seen over there. And that's actually quite an interesting exercise because, you know, it would prove the angle, wouldn't it? It would prove the angle of the celestial ceiling.
Well, and what is the actual, there's so many factors that would matter, like the latitude that the sun is crossing on and hence the latitude the moon is crossing on, depending on where you're located. Obviously, somebody directly underneath the sun with it completely overhead and the moon passes over, that person in that location is going to see an eclipse versus someone, you know, in of the picture that we're looking at right now with the sun over the northern part of South America, the one you have on the screen, somebody in Russia is not going to see an eclipse at all because the angle of their refraction or deflection is going to be totally different.
Yeah, and if the sun was actually
somewhat of an eclipse, but they're not going to see a total one.
Yeah, and if the sun was actually within the firmament and not outside it, firmament. But those people over in North America, where it shows the eclipse would be visible, then what they would actually see would be the sun and then the moon, you know, a tiny distance below it. You know, they'd be right next to each other, one above the other, you know, and there would be no way that could be construed as 93 million miles, because 50 miles away, if the moon is 50 miles below the sun, then where they are relatively now, it would be, it would be like a finger width apart in the sky. Mm-hmm. But it isn't, because there is some refraction or deflection that's causing that. So do you want me to move on to the moon?
So if the sun, it depends on the time of year. Of course, this is going to be August 21st, which is going to be what? Close to equinox?
It's a month off the equinox.
Okay. Versus if it was a different time. I mean, there's different times of year that these eclipses happen. And different locations will be able to view them, while others can't. And the path of this one is supposed to come right across the United States. Of course, the NASA video that we were talking about a little while ago shows the path moving from west to east, which is really bizarre because it's like, what's wrong with this picture? And what were they up to this game?
That's the first thing you notice when you see it. You think it's moving from.
Well,
why don't you show it? Show it. Some people might not have seen. Like, just show it so the audience can see. Have you got it? Have you still got it?
I don't know. It was in the. Let me find it. It was in the group.
Page. I'm just gonna find the coffee cup up.
And the. I don't know where it went. The idea that, it couldn't have gone down that far. We had a lot of posting in this group this week. I don't know. What was it called, Lawrence? It was a NASA video.
You sent it to me on Facebook. I'll tell you, I'll come out, I'll find it, and I'll send you the link. I'm not going to come out altogether. I'm just coming off the screen share, so because I've got to go to your Facebook page to get it, and we don't want people looking at our private conversations. Not that we've got anything to hide, but none of their business.
This is it. I got it.
Oh, you got it now. All right. Do you want to share the screen and share?
Tech and I got it. Hold on.
Are you sharing?
Okay, here we go. Let me go directly to the video. Okay, it's on Tech Insider. All right, so let me do screen share. Application window, here we go. Let me put my, I don't know that the audio makes any difference. Present to everyone and boom. Okay. That's the path. Totality. If you're between the two green lines, you'll experience totality. And I don't know about everybody else, but they are showing us the path of this thing going from west to east.
Maybe that's a hidden clue, Laurie. Maybe there's some really good.
Maybe it is a hidden clue. I don't have the foggiest idea what they're even doing here.
Maybe they're laughing at us, NASA, because that's what they do. Maybe the sun really going.
Okay, so you see the size of the rings. The one in the middle, the black dot, is totality. And then there's degrees of totality or not as it comes out from that. So the thing is going to be seen completely across the United States, but you'll only see part of it.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. Did you see all those little arcs? Hold on, let me go back to... Oops, wrong one. That's not the one you hit the play button. Let me go back to right here. Okay. Okay, hold on. Okay, see the little sun arc figures all over the map?
Yeah.
Okay, so different people in different places. Some of them are going to see the sun off, you know, the moon covering the right side. Some are going to see him covering the left side. You see what I'm saying? As you progress the video and it gets over to the other side of the country, then they show, see over here, it's covering the left side of the sun. And over here, it's covering the right side of the sun. So that totality is that path right down through the middle. So if you live in Boise, Idaho, or Casper, Wyoming, or Kansas City, or St. Louis, you're going to, that Nashville, you're going to be in the path, but of a totality. Yeah. But yeah. I have no idea why they're showing the shadow going from west to east. I really would like, I mean, if I'm stupid, then so be it. But that doesn't make any sense to me. And I'm sure there's probably some valid reason why they're showing us that. I can't think of any.
I've got a theory, Laurie. So I want you to play this. I'll just send you this little clip. Play this, and then I'll give you my theory as to why they're showing it that way. Because they haven't done it for nothing. You know, they're not stupid at NASA, are they? It's been done deliberately, but I think it's... it's a clue, and if you play this, that you should
might
get
the clue. Let me go back to screen share. We played this a long time ago. I remember.
Yeah,
that.
I know, but it's relevant to what I'm thinking about. Okay, why NASA did that?
Okay, here we go. And I don't think there's any audio in this.
Thank you.
So, Lawrence, you're suggesting that NASA is telling us that that it's passing through water?
No. What I'm suggesting is that NASA know that the sun is actually moving from not from east to west, but from west to east, or the west is really the east, and the east is the west, because if the sun was shining through water, well, that arrow's changed direction, hasn't it? So the sun would change direction shining through water. So it might appear to be going from west to east rather than east to west. And then if it was also shining through something like glass or something that's going to change the angle, that could actually create what we're actually seeing. So, you know, maybe NASA are just putting out that, laughing at us, saying, these daft humans, they think the sun moves from east to west when it does the other way. I mean, why else would they do it?
Admitting that the sun is passing through the sun and the moon light are passing through water, and they actually are going west to east or something, and we're seeing them from east to west. Flip.
Well, yeah. Well, you've been to one of those.
That you just said.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, there's a lot of evidence. You know, water's above. It's biblical anyway. So,
right.
I can't see too many people having a problem with us being surrounded by water and an angled celestial ceiling, which would, you know, you'd have to know what, you know, you could try 23.4 once you've made the model and see where, you know, the sun actually appears when you shine it through. But I mean, interesting to see that happen at some point.
Well, I'm going to leave that question on the table as far as I'm going to have to do some research myself to find out why they're showing it that way and what the relevance of that is. And if that's actually how it's going to be viewed, maybe here's the moon and here's the sun and the sun's going to pass the moon or vice versa, that it's going to appear to the eclipse is going to appear to go from west to east. Don't know.
Well, yeah, time and date still show the sun going from east to west. So, NASA is depicting the sun moving the other way. So, you know, that's the only reason I think they can do it. It's like they're in the know about where we really are, or some of them are, and they're rubbing our noses in it. You know, for those of us who can see through the deception, you know, some people just think NASA are really stupid and they make mistakes like putting Pluto on Pluto. You know, and by the way, Pluto on Pluto, and Pluto, the Disney cartoon character, came out at the time that the planet Pluto was discovered. So, you know, it's not like it's something they've been doing recently. They've been taking the piss out of us for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess when you realize, most people are busy with their lives and don't have time to ask questions and don't care because, you know, it's like the rents do. And secondly, they're the ones that have been guilty of dumbing us down for so long.
Yeah. I mean, any, you know, a population of people with even the most basic of critical thinking skills, you know, as soon as they saw NASA's Pluto with Pluto etched out into it, NASA should be out of business on that alone.
But you're just a crazy conspiracy theorist, and it's just a coincidence. And somebody drew that Pluto on there and made that look like that. It's close, but it's not really that. And I went through that last year with the Pluto, Pluto dog cartoon character drawn on Pluto, and people made fun. They were like, oh, come on. You know, anybody can find pictures and images and things if you really look hard enough. Well, no. I mean, it is Pluto. I mean, you can't draw what's not there. But, okay. So if somebody took the data from time and date, of both the all the data's there, the movements of the sun and the movements of the moon, and put them, you know, created an algorithm to take all that data and put it on a simulation. it really wouldn't, if you have the tech skills to do it, it wouldn't really be that hard to predict when one's going to get in front of the other, right? Because, I mean, they show it literally on the page. You know, go put that page back up of August, what is it, 21st, you said?
Yeah.
From time and date. And the time that the eclipse is supposed to be happening in the USA. And you'll see that they literally have the picture. That's where you got that from. They have the moon barely showing, just a teeny little sliver a bit. And so everything leading up to it and everything after that, you run the data through a program, it's going to show when the next one's going to happen and where, right? Now, what are you giving me?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. So, I mean, NASA just get more and more outrageous with the ridiculousness of the stuff that they're doing. So I've got, we don't talk much about NASA, but I've got something related to it, which I thought it's generated a bit of interest earlier this week. But if you can just show that next clip, Laurie, that leads us onto the moon. And if you can actually freeze the video when the eclipse, the lunar eclipse has got a crescent shape on it. Are you sharing that? Yeah, you must be, because I can see.
Yeah, this year's winter solstice fell on a Tuesday, December 21, 2010. We captured this footage on a Sony camcorder. Enjoy the live footage from Ontario. This rare lunar eclipse lasts a total of 72 minutes when the sun, the earth, and the moon will align. It began in the early morning hours on this December 21st, 2010. It is known to cast an amber glow on snowy landscapes, says NASA. The moon passed through the darkest part of the shadow of the Earth's shadow. They're still going with the Earth's shadow game. Let's see what we got here. Two 30 a.m.
Yeah, we just freeze the screen there. Freeze the screen. Okay. So that is during a lunar eclipse, yet we see that same feature in the moon phases, don't we?
Yeah.
What's the difference?
Exactly. No, I don't see any difference.
Apart from the lunar eclipse happening, over a matter of few
minutes. Apart from the when the black part of the moon during that particular phase is perhaps blacker than this shadow is showing, but the similarity of the way they look is pretty dramatic.
Yeah.
I mean, I see moons like that where I live all the time. And it's interesting. I saw one the other night where the shadow on the moon was across the top like this. Can you see my cursor?
Yeah.
It was across the top like this, but it was a perfectly straight line. And I'm like, hey, yo, how does the curvature of the Earth leave a straight line on the moon if that's what's supposed to be casting the shadow to make the phases of the moon, right? The Earth's shadow?
Yeah, yeah.
How does it make a perfectly straight line across the top and the sun set way down over here, right? So this is 2:45 a.m. and this is pretty close to total. But yeah, see, there's the difference with an eclipse like this one. You can still see the full roundness of the moon in the light versus when it's doing its phases. The part that's blacked out is pretty black. Can't see any light.
Well, I feel like I can faintly see that. Well, it's still there, isn't it? So, I mean, what is stopping us seeing it anyway? Because, there hasn't been one logical explanation of it.
I have to tell you, Lawrence, the only way that I have ever been able to come up with an explanation for why it's a shutter system. It's a reverse shutter system. There's a shutter on the back of the moon that moves during its phases and blacks out any light that's coming from behind. So I liken it to rear projection movie screen. The screen's being projected from behind versus from in front. You know, you go to the movies and
yeah, that's another interesting point, because a lot of flat earthers now and for some time have said that the light on the moon is not from the sun. But if the moon is 50 miles beneath the sun, then why couldn't the light, you know, be the sun above the moon creating that sort of stuff? You know, and then there's a shutter system inside that allows so much of the sunlight through. I mean, there's got to be a lighting system, hasn't there? Where is the light coming from if not the sun?
Well, I mean, many people will still say that the moon is being lit from the sun, not an internal, the moon lights itself. I mean, you've got flat earthers who believe both. You've got flat earthers who truly say it's one, the other, and then you have people who say it's both, that it's being lit, self-lit, and that it's also reflecting the sun as well. And then you've got the electromagnetic earth people and, you know, there's a lot of ad hoc.
What does Enoch say about it, though, Laurie? Doesn't Enoch say that the moon gets 1/7 or something of the sun's light?
Well,
does it not say that? Yeah. Well, in that case, I'm going to go with
one's feeding the other, you know, but in a sort of a yin-yang kind of way. That. Where the part of the reason where the yin yang symbol came from.
I'm back in the sun being illuminated, the moon being illuminated by sunlight, and not.
Well, let me just say this: people who say the moon is only lighting itself explain how it's never wrong by what direction the sun is, by what side the phase is on. I mean, it's never wrong.
Yeah.
It always follows where the sun's coming, the angle of the direction of the sunlight. You know, I mean, if the moon's up here and the sun's already set over the horizon, then that's the side of the moon that's lit when it's up in the air in the day or night. I mean, you can't argue that.
Right. I'm going to give you a challenge now. On live on air is a little challenge. Don't worry, I'm not going to ask you to do the model. I'm sure you'll get round to it eventually. But I would like
that was so passive aggressive of you, Lawrence, you butthead.
Sorry, love, peace, gratitude. I do apologize for being
thank you.
Positively aggressive, but that
my
is
pleasure.
My nature.
Yeah. You'll get your damn
my little,
thing
my little
you,
challenge
you
for you.
It.
Yeah.
Okay.
Laurie Frary special. You can do this yourself. And I'm sure you'll find time to do it. I would like you to do the experiment to see whether the moon gives off a cold light and it lowers temperatures. Because I don't know whether it does or it doesn't. I'm getting contrasting. I'll take your information as being the bona fide, authentic truth.
Well, you know, I've seen enough people do this experiment, but I can't think of a different way to do the experiment than the way they've already done it a bunch of times. I mean, literally, you know, I was seeing these cold moon light experiments. So many people
but some
did
are saying it's not. I've got people saying that John Le Bon, he said he did it and it didn't change a jot.
Well, So I've heard that response too, that they didn't, it was inconclusive that they're, you know, it didn't change the temperature. And then people said, well, you're doing it wrong. And the ones that who got a difference. So I've seen anything from a couple of degrees difference, points of degrees, not even a full degree, points of degrees difference, to I think the highest one I saw was 4 degrees colder in the moon light than in the moon shadow. So I'll try it one of these days, but unless I can think of a different way to perform the experiment than the way they did it.
Laurie, just do it the same because you'll do it properly. It'll be like your next Red Boat video.
People are going to start asking. I can't even imagine. There's like 742 comments or something on the Red Boat video, and they're everywhere from outstanding, this absolutely proves the flat earth, to, you know, what did you fail third grade math, or, you know, I mean, to just total humiliation and you're the dumbest sock in the drawer, to brilliant, phenomenal, amazing. So
yeah,
I mean, it's the same video. Right, well, it's the same video. So I'll get there.
On your to-do list, Laurie. Put it on your to-do list. You must do it before.
You have to go buy the special thermometer thing, right?
The $20, Laurie, you can afford it. Come on.
Okay. Well, send me a link of what I need to buy. It's not about affording it. It's about how I spend my money. I don't like to spend my money on silly things that I'll never use. But I can say I've done it on more than one occasion. And then why did I buy this? And this is dumb. And now what am I going to do with it? Yeah. Okay. So back to the issue of the eclipse, I want to kind of hit on one more thing. Okay. So depending on where the sun is on that day, as far as its latitude, and where the moon is on that day, because there's eclipses that we don't see in North America, for example, that they see in Australia or South Africa, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So depending on who's zooming who and where, the location of where you are on the ground is going to determine how much of an eclipse you see. So if the sun, and we're talking about a solar eclipse here, obviously, if the sun is passing overhead on an equinox, for example, I want to compare the idea that everyone on an equinox sees the sun rise due east, no matter their location on Earth, and set due west, correct?
So within a few degrees, yeah. When you get to the extremities towards, you know, 60, 70 north, then it's you know, you're not getting 12 hours day and night. It could be 12 hours, 15 minutes and 11:45. But near as damn it, you know, towards the equator, everybody's getting, you know, to within 2 or 3 minutes, they're getting 12 hours of daylight, 12 hours of darkness.
Okay, so that right there screams that when the sun is going directly over the equator on the equinox, and everyone, with the exception of a few far-flung people, are seeing the sun rise due east and set due west. That right there screams, what's your word? Deflection?
Deflection, yeah, or refraction.
Deflection,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Or refraction. Because how can that be on a globe or a flat earth? And of course, the picture that I have in my head of what map this would be the diamond map, but I can also see it on a Mercator. But I cannot possibly see it on any circular maps. And I can't imagine how an eclipse could ever happen with the path projected of the one on North America on August 21st, 2017, how that could possibly happen on a circular map. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah.
Because what? Because it starts out almost in the northwest And even if it's reversed backwards by NASA and they're screwing with us, okay, let's say it starts in Savannah, Georgia, okay, and moves across the United States and comes out in the Northwest. On any map that I've seen that fits all of the longitudes, latitudes, distances between cities, timeanddate.com, yada, 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 all of our criteria that we've used multiple times on trying to find map, the proper map. The United States is kind of straight on latitude lines, right?
Yeah.
All right. So why is that thing making that goofy arc? Any explanation from the great guru of maps?
It's refraction, though. It's got to be. It's just going, it's passing through water, maybe, and passing through some other medium, and it's appearing there.
And it's a month before equinox. So the sun is still...
It's still moving. It's still moving
south.
It moves.
No, moving. Wait a minute. In August, it's moving back north, right? No, wait. Now I'm confused.
In March, it's the sun is moving. In the spring equinox, the sun is moving north.
Cancer.
Yeah.
Tropic of Cancer. North. So in August, it would be coming back from the Tropic of Capricorn, correct?
No, it's moving further down. It's not coming back up. It's going further down.
August. Okay, you're right. Okay, now I got it. Now I see it. All right, so it's hit the equator and it's going down. Okay.
Yeah,
so now it's down, below the equator, but because of the angle of where the moon is in front of the sun, the people in North America are seeing it, but so much farther north, which is kind of screaming at me about that whole thing about how people see the sun set north of west. Okay. This is kind of an example of that same refraction.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what else is a bit of a big anomaly that nobody's come up with any proper explanation yet. And I saw this last year, and I'd just been to the post office to drop some parcels off, and I was just turning down our road coming back home, and I saw the moon out of the corner of my eye, and I just could not believe how huge it was. And if you compare the size of the moon at its largest, and then sometimes in the day when you see it, and it's about the size of a dime, is that a small American coin? Yeah. It's tiny in the sky. And this one was, you know, several times larger. It'd be interesting to know what latitude the sun is at when we get... Do they call them things super moons when they're really big?
Yes.
Yeah, what latitude the sun is at.
Well, but I don't think that's necessarily the only criteria for a super moon, but...
Yeah. But where is the sun located at that time, you know, because maybe it's got something to do with the angle again.
Okay, well, you see my You see my little guy here? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So that one tent, this one, is at the equator. Okay. And the other one is the north-south axis. Okay. Which is going to be the model that I'm going to make one of these days when I get to it. Okay. As the sun, if the sun is below here and you're over here in this quadrant, right?
Yeah.
If you're in that quadrant and then yours, see that it's going through two angles of the celestial ceiling, otherwise known as the firmament.
Yeah.
Right? It's going through two angles because it starts over here and it's seen over here, right? I mean, I could put little numbers on here, 1, 2, 3, 4, but you get what I'm saying. All right. So no wonder if the water can flip the arrow, like the video we watched just a little while ago, from one total direction to the other, as if it's just a mere reflection reversed, then it's not a big stretch to understand why someone in North America would be seeing this eclipse moving backwards. I don't think NASA did that as a screw up, or whoever made that video, Tech Insider, somebody, whoever, wherever they got that from. Okay.
You think the eclipse is really going to go from west to east?
I think it's possible, and I can't wait to see it happen. I can't.
The sun's going to go in the opposite direction.
The moon is going, but it's the eclipse path that is moving. Okay. The sun's not going west to east. And neither is the moon. They both go east to west.
I've got you.
All right. But it's the path of the shadow. If one's going like this and they're not going at the same speed and the same height and all of those things, I could see where this might happen.
Oh, right. So what you're saying is that the eclipse is actually going to start on the west coast of America
being viewed,
and move over the other way.
Being viewed. Because
So how is that possible if the sun's moving from east to west? It's impossible unless there's...
Because the sun and the moon are moving at different paces. I don't think they screwed up. I might be wrong. I don't consider myself at all gullible, but I'm questioning the questioning. In other words, the minute I saw it, I was like, whoa, what's going on? Why are they showing us the path of this thing moving from west to east? But if you look at the movement of the sun and the moon on timeanddate.com and compare, I bet you'll see why it happens.
Well, let's have a look.
It's only the eclipse path we're talking about. We're not talking about the sun and moon path.
Well, it's shown on time and date. Let's see if I can find it. Change the date. Here we go.
Because, I mean, I know NASA screws up and whoever else is the ones who did this, you know, maybe, but I'm not questioning that they have the viewing of the eclipse correct, how it's going to be seen and at what time.
Let's take a look. There we go. So I've got, all right, right. Oh, sorry, that's the 26.
Because if you take two circles and hold one in front of the other and, you know, one's a flashlight and the other one's, you know, blocking the light, somebody over here looking at it coming through two angles or whatever, because southern hemisphere would be south of south of the equator. We're talking about where the 23.4 degree angle is in the celestial ceiling. One's coming up and the other one's going down at the equator.
There we go.
You're on and you're presented.
The sun is catching up with the moon now. It's slightly overlapping it. So let's just move it on an hour at a time. And let's see where the eclipse shows up.
Whoa, look how big that moon got all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And why do they do that? Do they have an explanation for that?
No.
Okay, now see the darkness over here? The sun... Let's see. East to west.
See, if the moon was that much bigger than the sun, you'd be getting eclipses already because the sun's already big enough to block out all the
sun. But you see what's happening. Go an hour again. Yeah, they made it little again.
Yeah, I wonder why they did that. Now they made it big again. Right, the eclipse should come up.
I'm telling you, the path is going to go like that.
There we go. So it's starting, so it's obviously that's the direction of the arrow. Uh-huh. And it says, what does it say about the eclipse? The map shows total eclipse in progress. The yellow area on the map shows where a partial eclipse is visible. At the moment, the total phase of the eclipse is not available to anyone on Earth. All right, so let's see if it starts moving across from west to east. Maybe we misinterpreted the video. Yep, it's moving across the other way.
So. That's what I figured it out somewhere when I, see, it's the actual eclipse path is different than the sun and the moon direction. So they're correct.
Yeah. Some people may have a job getting their heads around that, Laurie, but they'll have to think about it a bit.
Well, I'm actually kind of proud of me that I did keep on questioning that they didn't, then not showing us wrong. So,
yeah.
Okay. So that path of the eclipse going from west to east has nothing to do with the direction of the sun, but then again, it has everything to do with it because we're seeing a visual anomaly that we don't normally see. And if the sun and the moon were keeping the same pace, then the eclipse would be perhaps viewed east to west. I don't know, but the pace of the two objects is out of sync. And bypassing the other one.
Do the eclipses always go from west to east, though? Sometimes they go the other way? That would be interesting.
Well, I don't know. Again, this is one of those things where it depends on what time of year it would be. Now, maybe it's the opposite in the southern hemisphere when the sun is in the northern hemisphere. Because it's in the southern part.
I'm going to find out when it was and see if we can have a look at it. Yeah. Okay. Solar eclipse.
So it could be the same problem and the same issue that we have. It is the same. It's the same as the star spinning counterclockwise in the north and clockwise in the south.
Let's have a look.
All right. The celestial ceiling. The celestial ecliptic, we went through all of this, and at the equator, the path of the stars is a straight line, and around the north star, Polaris, they circle, it's counterclockwise, isn't it? It's the opposite of what you think it is. And then in the south pole, or Sigma Octanus, the imaginary Sigma Octanus, they circle the opposite direction. Nobody can figure that out, and that's why it's freaking refraction.
All right, let's look at
that. Ta-da!
4th of January. This is just talking.
Why does it have eclipses? Doesn't it have eclipses listed as something to look at on TalkingDay.com?
Hold on, I've got the 4th of January 2011, so let's have a look at that.
Well, I'm asking why did you randomly pick that date?
Because that was the last one.
Okay.
That was the last one.
That's what I just asked.
Yeah.
Did they have them listed?
2011. Is it going to let me go back? It will let me go back to 2012, I think. Anyway, let's try. I've got to change the year. Oh, 2011. Okay. 2011.
Boy, it's a lot of data that's collected on that site, isn't it? Collected and predicted, because it goes into the future. How far?
Yeah. Oh, God knows. I'd be interested to find out, wouldn't it? Have a look, see how far into the future they've got time and date programmed up. There we go. So we've got here the fourth.
We might start a whole conspiracy, Lawrence, about that. If time and date only goes to January 1st, 2020, is that the end of the earth? We all going to die?
Let's just take it back and have a look, see where it occurs. Here we go. There it is. So which way is it going? Let's just go back another couple of hours and have a look and see which way it moves this time. So this is in the opposite hemisphere. Here we go. So they're lined up there now. So let's just move it on an hour. There's the eclipse move appearing. So is that going from west to east or east to west? Let's have a look. It appears to be going from west to east again in the same in the opposite hemisphere. So that muddies the water a bit, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. Okay. Yeah, a little bit.
So we can conclude from that the eclipses are always visible from what we've seen so far, because we've looked in both hemispheres, they're going to be visible moving from west to east. There you go. There you have it.
So it goes from west to east in the northern hemisphere too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, so if now, anybody so now wants we just to, have to go and check some more and find anything contrary, we'd be interested to know. Uh-huh. So that's something new I've just learned.
Yeah, me too. Interesting information.
The live feed. Have I stopped sharing now? No.
Yes.
I must have. Okay.
Yeah. So, okay. So that deserves further exploration, research on why the anomaly is that eclipses are viewed backwards, both north and south, because I would have suspected it would have been the opposite in the north. Would only stand yeah. reason. But they're not, the sun and the moon are not the stars. So.
And the stars, there's another one. The stars, obviously you've got the so-called transit of Venus. And if you ever look at that, it looks like an amoeba. If you can look at the footage from real footage, it looks nothing like the pictures of, I mean, if you ever look at the pictures of Venus from NASA, I mean, they're, you know, so it's like Pluto again. They're all completely, totally, they look like arts, like somebody's drawn them. You can see the brush
marks and then no two look the same that I've seen. I mean, it looks different totally all different. The time, different colors, different shape, not the shape, but different patterns. The whole nine yards. Yeah.
So if
and that doesn't seem to bother most astronomers.
Yeah. So if you look at the passage of Venus across the sun, that means the planets or whatever are the planets are, the celestial bodies and whatever they are lower down than the sun to be able to pass across them. Unless they pass behind them, but certainly Venus is closer to us than the sun is. Otherwise, it couldn't pass across it. So if you're looking at the hierarchy of what's the highest up, the sun's higher than the moon, and maybe the planets are a bit lower than the moon, or between the moon. They're either between the moon and the sun or lower than the moon, but not higher than the sun. Well, certainly Venus isn't anyway.
Well, that's very interesting. I just happened to click over to the page with the chat on it, and looks like we got some troublemakers over there, and it's, looks like Event Skeptic got banned, and I missed the conversation, so I don't know what he said that got him banned. But for Jason to ban somebody, it must have not been pretty. So looks like quite a few people got messages deleted. We must be in some murky water for people. I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh well. It wouldn't surprise me. Maybe he said something that was personal. I don't know, but maybe he called me a man. I don't know. One of those conversations again.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, it's kind of interesting. I thought about this earlier today. I'm going to go over to my Facebook page and go into my photos and, okay, where am I looking at? I need photos of me, more of my photos. There we go. And I'm going to go to albums. Let's see, we'll have some profile pictures. There we go. I'm pretty sure. Let me find one real quick. I can find just the one that I need. Hold on just a second, Lawrence. I'm getting there. There we are. That will be cute. All right, let me do a screen share. I think you might get a kick out of this. And there's little Lori.
It's a blank screen. A little girl, yeah.
There's little Lori when she was, I think, 3, maybe 4 years old. Not really sure. But
yeah. Definitely a girl.
It's definitely a little girl, even though I was close to having the mono brow like Frida Kahlo, Kahlo, whichever way you pronounce it, the famous artist with the mono brow. But that's me. And that doesn't look like a little boy. So just in case anybody was wondering when my sex change operation happened, I was born a girl. So there you go. Anyway, just something for fun. The poll thing with regards to the eclipse, it sort of is hanging in my head here that eclipses would have nothing to do with the movement of any of the other heavenly bodies, would it? Unless you believe in the whole Rahu Ketu thing, right? Because the sun and moon move separately from the timing of the stars. They have their own clock, right?
Yeah. Well, you could take a photograph of a lunar eclipse and you could take a photograph of one of the moon phases and they would look identical, more or less. So, you know, that means that Rahu's coming out every month to cause the half moon, the quarter moon, and then going away for the full moon.
Well, it would just mean here's Rahu and here's Rahu and here's the moon, and it's got to be going behind because it's not coming in front, yeah. Right? So yeah. That means it would have to just be constantly going like this, yeah. back and forth every 28 days.
Yeah.
So that maybe would be a part of the way the whole moon works. So then how would that affect this whole thing with solar eclipses? Then that would mean that when a solar eclipse is happening, Rahu, Ketu, whoever is, go stand over here in the corner on that day, because then the phase of the moon would have what effect on the eclipse? I mean, these are questions that until flat earthers kind of wrap their minds around it, it's going to bug the crap out of everybody. And it's going to be a bone of contention with the globers.
How could an invisible celestial body create a shadow? Can something that's invisible create a shadow? I wouldn't have thought it could.
Well, it wouldn't mean that it's invisible. It would mean that it's completely like unlit, like a black hole. But how would it, being behind the moon, create a shadow on the front? Because then the front is, if the front is of the moon is what's being lit by the sun, okay, if you went in that direction, that it's the sun causing the lighting of the moon, all right, then this whole thing behind thing would have to be that it was in sync with the actual moment of the sun hitting the moon too. So, I just never have bought into this three or four bodies thing involved in this whole clockworks. I personally, until I find another reason to think otherwise, believe that the crackling, you're crackling, Lawrence. You're messing with your earbuds.
Okay.
The the out the window. There went the thought.
And where did this Nibiru come from anyway? Because when I was a kid, I'd never heard of Nibiru. It only came out to prominence a few years ago. I hadn't heard about it in the 80s, well, the 90s even. You know, it was only...
All we ever heard about was Halley's Comet.
Yeah.
And it was Halley's back then. And, you know, every once in a while, there would be some woo story of... asteroids or some other comet and whatever. But I think the bottom line is this. You know, we have gone off over into the simulation theory conversation several times, and we haven't stopped thinking about that or considering it. Just like we haven't stopped considering giant trees or past Earth realms or other realms out there next door. But so, if the moon is a simulation and the sun is a simulation and the stars also are, even if we want to just call them light beings, I mean, they just may live by a separate set of rules than we have here on planet Earth. So then if the moon's a simulation, then obviously you got no problem with the shutter effect, right? I mean, it's just like a clock, a watch, you know, a really nice watch face has this moon phases coming around on it. Now think about that. Okay. It works like a clock, right? Because it's always right. I mean, I've had them. I mean, it's only 28 days. Part of the, just another little cog in the wheel to make the moon phases and the sun go around the face, just like the minute hand, second hand, hour hand move. So it is a sort of clockworks. And so the shuttering system concept would work just like the clockworks. I mean, it's obviously not real scientific. And
September the 4th, 2100. September 14th, 2099. Am I here on my own? Laurie, I'm going to show people the solar eclipse of the latest one that you can see on time and date, which is in the year 2099. So maybe they think the world's going to end there, or they just don't want to show you beyond that date. Here we go. So you see here the date, Tuesday the 15th of September 2099. So how many years is that in the future? We're in 2017, so 82 years time. There's a solar eclipse. That is the latest one we can see, or latest one in the future. Let's have a look, see where it occurs. Maybe it's only a partial one. December the 14th, that's why we can't find it. We've got to go back a day. Minus one day. There we go. December the 13th. Okay, for 6 hours. Plus an hour. They're lining up now. The sun is almost over the moon. Aha!